Good morning, everyone. My name is Pastor Ford, and thank you for joining us this morning for Taylor Tabernacle Live. We welcome everyone who is joining this morning through our YouTube channel, also via Facebook. Thank you for spending your Sunday with us. As it is a first Sunday, this is the Sunday we celebrate communion. And so you have a moment or two to prepare yourself and your family with juice and crackers. As we start our service, we'll go into the communion portion first, then to the Word of God, and then to the conclusion of our Sunday worship service. At this time, we will have our welcome by Jacob Ford.
Good morning and welcome to our communion service.
Thank you. As it is communion, our scripture today will come from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 23 through 34. And I'm going to be reading this morning out of the ESV, the English Standard Version. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. Whoever therefore eats this bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Therefore, let a person examine himself, and then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the Lord's body eats and drinks judgment unto himself. And that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have even died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned with the rest of the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. And about other things, I will direct you after I arrive. And now we will have our confession of faith by Jackson Ford.
If you could please follow along and repeat. Most merciful God,
most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you.
We confess that we have sinned against you
in thought,
word,
and deed. By what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us and forgive us. That we may delight in your will. And walk in your ways. To the glory of your name. Amen.
Good morning. If you would get your hearts and minds set, we are going to proceed right into our communion prayer this morning. Thank you, Father, for this precious time of reverent reflection on all that Christ did for us at Calvary. As we partake of these hallowed symbols at this holy communion table, We humbly take this bread and bless it and break it and eat it in remembrance of you, for your own dear body was broken for us. May we continue to feed on you in our hearts by faith and with grateful thanks from this day forward. And may we walk worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus and live a life that is honoring to you. Heavenly Father, we come to you in grateful remembrance of what the Lord Jesus Christ achieved on Calvary's cross for all of us, when he shed his precious blood on the cross to pay the enormous price of our sin and became a ransom for many. We share this cup of blessing in his name, remembering how he himself took the cup in the upper room as the hour of his crucifixion drew near and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for many. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, thank you for this holy sacrament, and may I never approach the communion table in an unworthy manner, knowing that as often as we eat this bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until his coming again in great glory and majesty. We praise your holy name forever and ever. Amen.
So at this time, if you have your bread and your wine, you may have crackers and grape juice, whatever you have prepared to celebrate the communion service, we ask that you would bring that now. As we have read out of the book of Corinthians, we hear where Christ Jesus, on the night of the Passover, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which is given for you. And I say the same to all of you. Eat ye all of it." After the same manner, Jesus took the cup of thanksgiving in that same Passover meal, and he said, "This is my blood," and it represents the New Testament or the New Covenant that I make between you and God. He gave to his disciples and said, "Drink ye all of it." Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great sacrifice for us on Calvary. Thank you that without hesitation, you willingly offered up your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Our prayer this morning is that we too, in the same manner, might also offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God our Father as well. Thank you for your great sacrifice. Thank you for your great example and how we ought to live and to conduct ourselves in this world and even in the world to come. We thank you, we bless you, and we praise your name. Amen. So we thank you for your participation in our communion service. And with that, we're going to go ahead into the Word of God. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews, the 5th chapter. I'm just going to look at verses 12 through 14. Just three short verses. So I'll give you a moment again this morning. Hebrews, we're in the New Testament. The book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 14. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read those verses, but I'm going to read them from three translations. I'm going to read it first from the NIV, then I'm going to read it from the Amplified, and then I'll read it lastly from the Message Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Hebrews 5 and 12 out of the NIV. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now I'm going to read that same passage again, but this time I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, because of the time you have had to learn these truths, you actually need someone to teach you again the elementary principles of God's word from the beginning. And you have come to be continually in need of milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is doctrinally inexperienced and unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is spiritually an infant. But solid food is for the spiritually mature, whose senses are trained by practice to distinguish between what is morally good and what is morally evil. Now, in the third time, I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. I have a lot more to say about this, but it is hard to get across to you since you have picked up this bad habit of not listening. By this time, you ought to be teachers yourselves, yet here I find you need someone to sit down with you and go over the basics of God again, starting absolutely from square one, and that's baby's milk, when you should have been on solid food long time ago. Milk is for beginners, inexperienced in God's ways. Solid food is for the mature who have some practice in telling right from wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Today I want to talk about staying in school. Staying in school. At this time of year, many of us are well acquainted with the phrase, back to school. It is an indication that summer has ended, vacations are over, and it is now time to get our minds, bodies, and our schedules reacclimated to the routine and rigors of another academic school year. There is also a phrase called summer learning loss, which we hear more often at the beginning of the summer after the school year has ended. Often referred to as the summer setback or the summer slide, summer learning loss is when a student returns to school at a lower academic level than they were at the end of the last school year. This happens when a child does not use or practice the skills he or she learned during the school year over the summer months, like reading and writing, math and science. Here are some facts that are now on your screen about summer learning loss. The equivalent of 1 month of learning is lost over summer vacation. Over 2.5 months of math skills are lost over the course of the summer. 2 months of reading is also lost during the summertime. At the beginning of a school year, roughly 6 weeks are spent relearning old material in the fall to make up for summer learning loss. These facts have given way to an alternative learning model called year-round schooling. It is in this model that a summer break is swapped out for a series of shorter breaks throughout the year. This approach has become increasingly common and more popular both as an academic improvement strategy and as a solution to overcrowding. Advocates for the year-round schooling model argue, among other things, that it can stem summer learning loss as it keeps the student's mind engaged and continually learning throughout the entire year. For your Christian growth and development, and as your pastor, I recommend year-round schooling in the Word of God. Somebody's in your house, just tell them, stay in school. Unlike an academic environment where we are accustomed to summer vacation, summer break, and winter break, and fall break, in order to advance in the things of God, we must move continually and stay steadfast in our spiritual growth and development. The Hebrews, who are the recipients of this letter, this particular group of Hebrews had become spiritually lethargic and had developed a slow response to gospel teaching. And this prevented them from being able to receive any additional, any greater, or any deeper teachings on truth at this time. And this is a reminder that failure to appropriate or utilize the truth of the gospel one has already received produces stagnation in spiritual advancement and the inability to understand more about God. Jesus said in John 16 and 12, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. Picking up at verse 12, this is noteworthy. If you're taking notes, please jot this down. Every believer is to be a teacher. I'll say it again. Every believer is to be a teacher. And I emphasize that because we have developed a practice where we assume the only teachers are pastors, preachers, and ministers of the Word of God, but that is contrary to what the gospel teaches us. Every believer is to be a teacher of the Word of God. Colossians 3:16 said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with both meekness and fear. That means if anyone asks you about your faith, you have to be able to explain it clearly and to be able to support it with the Word of God. If the Hebrews had really learned and obeyed the gospel message of Jesus Christ, by this time, meaning the time the letter was sent to them, they would have been passing that message on to others and teaching others about Christ Jesus, teaching them what they, in fact, had learned themselves about Christ Jesus. But instead of being able to teach others, they needed to be taught again themselves. So we ask ourselves, why is this the case? Why, after this extended period of time of being taught the Word of God, were these this group of Hebrews not able to now comprehend and understand enough so that they could turn and teach, whether it be other Hebrews or even Gentiles, those that did not know or receive Old Testament? Knowledge of the Word of God without obedience does not advance a person. In fact, the Hebrews were regressing in their understanding concerning the Messiah and were in need of relearning the basic principles about God to which the author referred to as the milk of the Word. So here they should have been further along. Here they should be teachers now, but in fact they needed to be taught again, okay? They have suffered loss, okay? And they suffered loss, why? Because they hadn't done anything with the Word they already received. Right. Are you with me on that?
Amen.
So in verse 13, we see it here. I'll pick it up out of the Amplified. For everyone who lives on milk is doctrinally inexperienced and unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a spiritual infant. Spiritual infancy often occurs when we take breaks from our spiritual development and training, thus requiring us to be retrained on the basics before making any progress forward. And if you understand what I'm saying, then we find ourselves in a constant cycle. Instead of moving up a learning curve and moving forward, upward, we find ourselves in a cycle. We just keep going back over the same old stuff, the same basic stuff, because we're not able to comprehend it and move forward so that now we can go into deeper training, deeper understanding regarding the Word of God. Spiritual infancy often occurs when we take breaks from our spiritual development and training. And that's what we want to talk about today, is unlike our kids and unlike students going back on college campus, we don't want to constantly take breaks, but we want to stay in a learning mode. We want to stay involved and in contact with the Word of God on a consistent basis, so we are not learning, forgetting what we have learned, but rather we are developing building blocks, which the song we used to sing in the old church says, every round goes what? Higher and higher. We're not meant to stay on the same level, the same plane, but there are higher heights and deeper, I can almost hear Dr. Taylor saying that, there are higher heights and deeper depths in God, and we all need to be progressing towards that.
Amen. Amen.
According to verse 14, it is God's desire and his design that progress in our knowledge and wisdom of him and of Christ should occur each and every day by eating solid food out of the Word of God, and by using and putting into action what we have learned by obedience to the Word of God. So it's not just purely learning on its own, but now we have to take what we have learned and put it into action. James 2:18, he says there, but some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Meaning I have taken what I've heard, I'm taking what I've learned out of the Word of God, and now I'm putting it into action, and here are the results of the Word of God applied in my life. The reason why you see this occurring in the way in my life, the reason why you see me, I'm able to pray longer, I'm able to comprehend more out of the Word of God, because I'm taking what I have and I'm putting it into action each and every day, in my home, on my job, in school, I'm putting the Word of God in action, and now I am starting to see the results and the power of the Word of God. Set somebody in your house and say, stay in school. And so as students, all of our students and our kids and our young adults, they're heading back to school. But I want to encourage believers everywhere here on the internet to stay in school. Don't take the break. Resist the temptation to get out of training. Resist the temptation to say, oh, I'm taking a week off, a month off. I'm taking the summer off, and now I got to start all over again. Why? Because I done forgot everything I heard. I done forgot everything I was taught, and I'm back on the cycle again instead of moving up the learning curve to the higher heights and deeper depths. And so this morning, I encourage you to stay diligent in your study of the Word of God. Stay committed to daily prayer and supplication. Stay joyful by singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Stay spiritually discerning by knowing what is both right and wrong. Because Paul says in Romans 1:16, says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The Jew first, and then also the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God, here it is revealed from faith to faith. That means each level of faith you progress to, you see there's new information of God that is revealed to you. Something when you were an infant in God, God couldn't show you, God couldn't expose you to it, but now that you've been going up the steps of faith and going from one level of faith to another level of faith, now that you've been moving from one level of glory to another level of glory, when you step up on that next level, you step up on that next platform, now God reveals something greater about himself. Now that you have the faith to hold it, now that God can trust you with more, revealing more of himself to you, now more of the power of God can enhance your life. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And these words reflect the endless possibility for elevation. They reflect the endless possibility for transformation. They reflect the endless possibility for glorification and for empowerment of the believer. There is an endless possibility of more and more of God. I'll tell you something that you may not believe it, but there is no end to God. The psalmist said it like this, he is from everlasting to everlasting. That means what? You'll never complete the course on God. You'll never say, oh, I took a course on theology and I finished it in May of 2022. No, there's always more to God. There's always something that God has not revealed about himself because we cannot comprehend it. We cannot understand it. Not as an excuse for us to take the summer off, but as an incentive for us to press further into the things of God. Tell someone in your house, don't take the summer off.
Don't take the summer off.
Because if you don't take the summer off and you continue to move level to level and faith to faith and glory to glory, Psalms 1 says it like this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the pathway of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Here it is. He's staying in school. Look what verse 2 says. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Now watch this. Here's the reward for staying in school. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of waters, that brings forth its fruit in its own season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, shall prosper. Yes. Touch somebody and say, stay in school.
Stay in school.
That's the message today, church. I know we are so used to going back to school.
Right.
We are so used to summer vacation. We're so used to taking some time off. But now more than ever, it is needed for us to press harder into the things of God. If ever there was a time to avoid the temptation of taking time off, taking days off, weeks off, months. I know everybody, especially now, the school's back and work is back, and everybody's juggling all over again, still while dealing with a pandemic, still while dealing with an economic crisis. But whatever you do, stay in school. Resist the temptation to get off the training wheel, to get off the training cycle. Because if you do, you'll suffer what the educators call the summer learning loss.
Yes.
But this time, the effect will be far greater than just missing out on some math and reading. But now you'll miss out on your development and your potential in Christ Jesus.
Lord.
From the day we accepted Christ, until he comes again, the Bible says we move onward to perfection.
Yes.
Always progressing. Always moving forward. Always moving higher. Until that which is perfect is fully come. And so I want to encourage you this Sunday, Stay in school. Stay in your word. Stay in your, keep your prayer life going. Continue to sing. One of the shortcomings we have with our production is that we don't have any singing in. It's just a few things and right to the word of God and announcements. And you know, even though we don't sing, you keep singing. The Bible said, yes, how you encourage yourself through songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. And all of it is doing what? Just keeping you developing and growing. Keeping you to the point where now you can handle greater truth. I'll say this in closure to this this portion of Hebrews chapter 5. He begins to teach about the high priest. And he begins to remind them that the Aaronic priesthood, which as Jews they were familiar with and understood, the high priest going on the Day of Atonement and atone for the sins of the people, and they understood that. They saw it from Aaron, from his sons, all the way down. They understood it. But he said, I really want to teach you is not about the Aaronic priesthood. I actually want to teach you about the priesthood of Melchizedek. Because Christ is after not the Aaronic high priesthood. He is after the priesthood of Melchizedek, king of Salem. But they weren't ready for it. Now, he gets around to it in chapter 7 and 8, but he wanted to get into it now, but he said, I can't. You're not ready for it. I got to go back and we got to do this, all that stuff all over again. Just I got to show you something that you can understand so I can develop you and prepare you for something that you cannot understand. All the other high priests, they saw, they knew them, they touched them, they knew who they were. But none save Abraham had ever encountered Melchizedek, who was a better representation, a better example of the high priesthood that now Christ now serves in. And so let that not be our case, where we are unable to receive greater knowledge and greater understanding concerning the things of our Lord, our Christ, and God, our Father. The only way you can be ready for greater truth and deeper understanding, you simply have to stay in school. Well, if you're out here with us this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, there's no better time than right now. If you've only scratched the surface of the Word of God, if you're a sometime viewer of our broadcast, an occasional attender, to a church maybe in your neighborhood, but you've never made the step of asking Christ to be your Savior, you can do that right now. If you would like to receive Christ today, simply repeat after me and say these words in faith. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my own sins. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior today. I believe that His shed blood, His death, and His resurrection has provided for my personal forgiveness. And I trust in Jesus alone as my Lord, my Master, and as my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me for my sins today. I thank you that I have been washed in your blood. If you said this prayer today, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I need you to jump online right now. You're already on your laptop. You're already on your phone, whatever your mobile device is. Go to our website, taylortabernacle.com. Hit on our button to contact us. Send me a message. Say, Pastor Ford, I got the message today. I either fell off the track and I had to get back in school, or better yet, Pastor, this is the first time I've heard the word and I'm receiving Christ today as my personal Savior. Will you jump online and let me know? Send me your contact information. I want to be in touch with you. I want to start helping you develop those building blocks of faith so that your faith can grow, so that your understanding of God can mature, and that you can become spiritually full-grown and not stay in spiritual infancy. We bless you and we thank you. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your attention this Sunday morning. May the Word of God find a resting place in your heart. At this time, we're going to bring forward my wife, the First Lady, and she's going to lead us in our offering. And she also has some announcements that she's going to share. And then we will be back to conclude our Sunday worship with the benediction. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Okay, as the pastor indicated, I'm going to go ahead and lead us into the morning offering. So I thank you again for joining us, and good morning again. If you didn't hear me say it before, good morning to our Taylor Tabernacle family and all of the friends that are joining us. This morning, you can continue to worship through giving. And you can do that in one of three ways, which will be displayed on the screen shortly. You can do it by texting. You can do online giving through our website. And you can also send your offering through U.S. Postal Mail. Now, to give by text message, you text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. You will receive a link with instructions. To give through our website, you just need to go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. And then finally, to give by U.S. mail, please send your check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Announcements for this Communion Sunday morning. The pastor and leadership team have decided to push back our church reopening date to mid-October. The exact date will be announced as we get closer. But if you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to contact either Cassandra McCoy, Shanita Scott, or Zakia Price. Please continue to pray for our safe and successful reopening. Now for some dates. On September 11th, we will have Friday night PBS via the church conference line. And leading us in that PBS meeting will be Sister Zakia Price. September 13th, Sunday service will be hosted by Pastor John Blaine Jr., a special treat. Pastor Blaine Jr. is from Philadelphia Deliverance Tabernacle. September 18th, Friday night PBS via the church conference line, will be held, and our very own Sister Courtney Scott will be facilitating that PBS meeting. On September 20th, Sunday service is going to be hosted by Pastor Patty Muir from Tri-Stone New Jerusalem Church of God right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. September 25th, Friday night PBS via our church conference line, will be held by Dr. Bruce Hairston, who is going to be leading us while he resides in Tennessee. So that's a special treat. Make sure that you tune in for that Friday night PBS meeting. On Sunday, September 27th, our Sunday service will be hosted by our very own Reverend Norman Lyons and family. The church conference line, make a note of it, is 775-799-9141. That's 775-799-9141. Finally, remember to hit subscribe right there on YouTube, the YouTube page, or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle, so that you remain informed and up to date with all of our upcoming dates and our upcoming gatherings, or rather reopening. If you're not receiving our weekly emails, which we do send out, please be sure to send us your email, your updated email address, so that we can add you to the list. And you can do that by using the appropriate link on our website, TaylorTabernacle.com. That is all of the announcements. Please take note of them. And with that, I'm going to ask the pastors to come back up for our benediction.
So thanks, everyone, for joining us this morning. Just a couple of reminders. One, pray for our children as they, in fact, return to school, whether virtual or in person or some type of hybrid. Remember to pray for those who are hurting, both in our church family and even outside. I also want to thank everyone for your faithful financial support of the ministry and your giving. And I also want to conclude by saying, enjoy the Monday Labor Day holiday. Amen?
Amen.
So with head bows, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you and thank you. Take care, everybody.